fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Mosquitoes are common in Western Australia with almost 100 species, and many of these are serious pests, and they may transmit disease-causing viruses or parasites. They can be found in a broad range of habitats and can carry different viruses which can cause potentially serious diseases in humans. With World Mosquito Day just gone on Tuesday the 20th August, it is important to take precautions to avoid getting bitten and possibly infected with a disease. And if you do get bitten, what steps you can do to treat it. To talk us through this is Andrew Jardine from Biological and Applied Environmental Health Hazards. Welcome to the MAG and Fitter Happier.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely to have you here. World Mosquito Day's just gone. Was it a big one?
I only just found out that World Mosquito Day existed this week. But no, it's good timing because we're coming into our risk season now, so it's a great time to talk about mozzies.
Well, let's talk about them. So we were talking a little bit off air about them, and they seem to pop up in the most random of places sometimes, but what's the ideal environment for a mosquito or their breeding ground?
Well, as you said, there's over 100 species just here in Western Australia and over 300 in Australia and, of course, many more worldwide. And they have evolved to adapt and pretty much cover just about any bit of water that you can imagine, they'll breed in it. So from freshwater to highly saline, many times seawater, they can easily survive in, to alkaline, to a very acidic water. So they're very, very good at adapting, and much more so than other predator species. So what you find is, particularly in those highly saline or acidic waters, they'll be the only thing that's left there. And, of course, then they can proliferate in huge numbers because they've got nothing else to compete with.
Okay, so is it that different species of mosquito like different kinds of waters, or they'll just all kind of amalgamate?
Yep. So certainly different species are adapted to different environments. So from little small container breeding species, which we find around the home in the backyard, through to ones that will breed in big saline wetlands or freshwater cropped areas, for example.
Okay. Now, in the intro, we did say they could be pests. They may be seen as pests. And that's, I guess, kind of how you may feel about them around your home or when you're trying to have a beer down at the lake or something like that. But why is it also important to prevent mosquito bites?
Well, we are lucky here in Western Australia and in Australia more generally that we don't have some of the really serious mosquito-borne diseases that you can find overseas that people know of, like malaria and dengue. But we certainly do have our own homegrown diseases here, rotavirus and a few others. But they can still be potentially serious, and they're not something to be just, oh, that's a mozzie bite, oh, you know, it's a bit of an itch for a day. You've got to think that every mosquito bite could potentially be the onset of a more serious disease, so it's very important to not get bitten.
All right, so you were just saying around different places in Western Australia, so the ones here that we've got in Perth may carry different diseases to what we would say get down south. What's the difference?
So across the whole of Western Australia, you can have a risk for Ross River virus and Barmah forest virus. And so the high-risk areas are generally the coastal plains from Perth right down to Busselton area through to Dunsborough. And certainly that's also present in the north as well, around Broome and they're the higher-risk places, but anywhere in Western Australia you can get Ross River or Barmah forest virus. But there's also Murray Valley encephalitis that people might have heard of, or Kunjun virus, and that's only present in the north of the state. And I think everyone probably remembers the policeman who got the mosquito bite. He had Murray Valley encephalitis. It was in the media a few years ago and ended up quite paralysed from it and very, very had long-term consequences. And it can be potentially fatal as well. People have died from that disease. Very rare. We only see cases once every 5 or so years. But when a case occurs, it can be potentially very serious.
Okay, so how do you know the difference between just getting your old common mozzie bite and, say, a potentially fatal one? Like, do they look the same as far as when a mozzie bites you? You're not getting bloody itchy and red and raised, but would you know the difference when you get bitten?
At the time you get bitten, no, a mozzie bite's a mozzie bite, so you're not going to know any difference. But until you start experiencing some symptoms, and that period of onset can vary from a day to quite a few days. So for Ross River virus, the symptoms are generally a very chronic feeling of fatigue and joint pain and swelling, like having arthritis. Can be a rash as well in the early stages of disease. And the period of time can vary from just a very short period of disease up to people have recurrent symptoms years later. So it can have a very significant impact, not being able to work for a long period of time, not being able to go to school or anything like that. And then for Murray Valley encephalitis, obviously, as I say, it can be fatal, and the symptoms of that are headache, fever, and can progress very rapidly. So if you're in the north of the state and had a mosquito bite and suddenly start feeling a very high fever or headache, emergency medical attention is required because it can be very serious.
I didn't realise, it could go so quickly. I mean, up north in Broome, you get bitten by almost everything. There's sandflies that I feel like just live on people. Yep. They attack you everywhere. So it would be hard to distinguish. So I guess the message we've got to put out there is, if in doubt, seek assistance.
If you're getting the symptoms of high temperature and fever, if you've had previous bites, yes, you definitely would. But as we say, prevention is always better than cure, so if you can avoid getting bitten in the first place, you're going to avoid having that risk occurring.
Well, let's talk about prevention. Just right now on Fitter Happier, we're talking to Andrew Jardine about mosquitoes, because we're coming into that time of the year. My mum reckons that mosquitoes love her more than anyone else, like that they just go for her. So if we're sitting outside, we have citronella going, we have essential oils going, we have all the candles. But is there one product or thing that we can use that's better than the other?
Yeah, there certainly is. Yeah, citronella and those kind of natural ones have their place, but they only provide a very small level of protection for a short period of time. So I wouldn't rely on that alone. Also, the key ingredients in that have been proven by research to work and work for an effective period of time are DEET, D-E-E-T, if you see that. That's on AeroGuard and Reardon and all the other brands of repellent that's available. Or picaridin, that's another particular type. Some of them don't smell too nice, they might not feel too nice, which is unfortunate, but they work. And they work for an extended period of time. So with repellent, think of it like sunscreen. It's not something you can put on once and then that's going to salt you out for the rest of the day. It does need to be reapplied if you've got mozzies around for a period of time. But those two in particular, with DEET or picaridin, make sure you're using those, because they'll give you an extended period of protection and you won't get bitten if you apply them correctly.
Sure, so that would be like for a night, and then the next night you would have to do
absolutely.
It again. Yep, cool.
And if you're around somewhere where the mosquitoes are biting during the day, which can happen, you'll need to reapply, as with sunscreen. So if you put it on in the morning when you're doing your fishing expedition or something, and then you're sitting around in the evening afterwards, you need to put your repellent back on again, because it's going to wear off over time.
Now, Andrew, is mum right? Do mosquitoes prefer one blood type more than another? And can they tell can they sniff the difference out?
Well, the second way you describe it is probably a better way. They can sniff the difference. It's not necessarily blood type, then we don't really know why, but certainly there's no doubt they prefer some people over others. I know that as well. They definitely go for me. But we don't really know why even yet. They're not enough research has been done. The long distance attractant, how they find us and other animals, is carbon dioxide in the breath.
Oh.
So that's how they fly from a distance to know where people or a potential blood meal are. But then if there's a bunch of us, if there's a group sitting around of five people, it's particular things, even colour, down to colouring, particular skin scents that we can't tell, particular chemicals on your skin that you wouldn't be able to pick up, but mosquitoes have such sensitive receptors in their antenna that one person will be more attractive than another, and that's the one that they'll go for in the first instance.
More delicious.
Well, I don't think they're too worried about once the blood gets in there, but for whatever it is, they're attractant. They'll go for that first person that they're most attracted to, and that's usually one out of the group, and that person know who they are because they're always getting bitten. Yeah.
Now, I have a few true-false questions to ask you.
Yep.
Can, say I was bitten and I had a disease, can that disease then be carried on from me to you if you're bitten?
So that's a very common misconception, that mosquitoes act like flying syringes.
Uh-huh.
So they actually don't. So if you had Rotavirus virus or any other virus in your blood and we were both at the same barbecue and mosquito bites you and then bites me, nothing's going to happen. It won't be transferable. But what actually has to happen is it's a period of time, and that's why it's only these four main diseases, viruses, that can be transferred between people, because they will replicate inside the mosquito. So the mosquito takes the bite, the virus from the infected person gets transferred to the mosquito, and then it takes 3 or 4 days for that virus to replicate enough inside the mosquito to then be able to transfer it on to someone else.
Interesting.
And so that's why they can't transfer HIV or hepatitis or any of these other blood-borne viruses, because they don't replicate inside the mosquito, so they won't transfer it on.
Great, that's a false. Next one, these are some funny ones I looked up and I asked my friends about these. Do mosquitoes have a lifeline like bees where they can only bite for a certain amount of time or a certain amount of people?
Well, another interesting thing about moths is it's only the females that bite. So you have male and female mosquitoes, but the ones that you'll see landing on your arms are only the females, because they need the blood for egg development, whereas the males have very short lives. They're just alive enough to mate and die, but they just feed on a little bit of flower nectar and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Whereas the females will only bite when they're looking for that protein source to develop the eggs. So once they've had their blood meal, they will go and rest for a while, let the eggs develop, lay the eggs, but then, depending on environmental conditions, if that can last long enough, once the eggs are laid, they'll go seek another blood meal, and that's when they can transfer the disease on, because they'll have the disease enough time developed inside their body to pass it on.
How many baby mosquitoes are we looking at from one mama?
Potentially hundreds to even 1,000. You know, they lay, different species lay it in different ways. Some will lay big egg rafts on the surface of the water. Some will just do single eggs around, but can do many hundreds in one batch. And a lot of those will survive and become adults, and that's why you get so many mosquitoes.
If we were, would we as a human, with human eyes, be able to see eggs, or are they kind of...
If you know where you're looking, you can.
Okay.
But probably not to the untrained eye, it'll just look like a bit of speck of something.
Yeah.
But
so I'm
yeah.
assuming they'd be minuscule.
Yeah, the eggs are minuscule. The eggs are very small. But certainly once they hatch into larvae, that's when you can start seeing them. And that's when you see that wriggling motion in the mosquito larvae. They're very characteristic. They don't look like anything else. That's why they're called wrigglers in general term. In your dog bowl or your bird pond or your backyard pot plant, all that kind of thing, you'll see them around. Yeah.
I can't believe how many questions I have about mosquitoes. I'm finding it extremely interesting. The one last thing I wanted to ask, and this actually comes from Taylor, who does breakfast. She wanted to know what role the mosquito plays in our ecosystem.
Yeah, well, mozzies are part of the ecosystem. Sure, they're annoying and they bite and they pass on disease, and people ask, what's the point of them? But I guess what's the point of any animal, really? What's the point of humans?
I mean, we're all part of it. That's how I feel about cockroaches.
Yep. They're all part of the ecosystem, but mozzies do have an important role to play, because nutrients do flow into aquatic areas, and then they have the important role taking those nutrients when they're feeding in the larval stage and flying out again. And so their nutrient cycling, basically, is their important role in the ecosystem.
So we need them.
We need them, and we're not trying to eradicate them. We just try and manage them, and just to tell people to not get bitten by them. Make sure that you're using your repellents, you're covering up, and just looking around your own backyard to make sure that you're not breeding mosquitoes in your dog bowl or your pond, or tipping out the pot plants areas that you might have, because that's an important breeding site for mosquitoes too.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for being on Fitter Happier this morning. That was super interesting.
No worries. Yeah, thanks for having me.